Over to 1 Samuel chapter 13, well, chapter 14. We're going to go in 13 and 14. But 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 of them." I want to preach just for a little bit against all odds. You know, don't you ever feel like your life is just against all odds sometimes? Everything's against you. You know, you think about it, and you think about the lottery. I was talking to Brother Hyatt back there, and he asked me what I was going to preach, and I told him. He said, "What about the lottery?" And I said, "Yeah, I had something to say about that." I mean, people put all their money in this thing, and look at the odds stacked against them to win it. And yet they'll put their money in there. Hey, I don't do it now, but I've been guilty of doing it before. I wouldn't have been about $3 or $4. I was cheaper. I wasn't going to put a bunch of money in there. But you know, big odds. And then you go, what happened? They'll give you a few dollars. You'll win something. They'll let you win a little and get you hooked on it. And I'll tell you what, if you look here at Jonathan, he was a man against all odds. And you just go over into chapter 13, but you take people today, and they'll do these things with about the lottery, and they'll gamble, and they'll get into these things and the world. And yet, if you'll think about it, the odds of someone getting saved, there's a big odds there. I mean, you never thought you'd never be saved. You'd be here tonight. I never thought I'd be here preaching the Word of God. I never thought nothing about it when I was a young lad running around, that one day I'd be preaching God's Word. I never thought about Jesus Christ. Thinking of Him as my Savior. Thinking that He died on the cross. I didn't know all that, even though I was in a church, in a Lutheran church. But I was never taught that He died on the cross just for me. You've seen Him died on the cross, and you've seen Him there, but they never told you, Brother Robert, that it was just for you. They never pointed out that it was just for me that He died. But I'm glad it's a personal thing. Old Jonathan here, he was against all odds. And we get over here in chapter 13, down in verse number 5. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sand which is on the sea shore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward of Beth Haven. And that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And Jonathan, buddy, he looked over and saw all them people over there. I'll tell you what, that one man, two men went up against all them people. All the odds was against him. And the day I got saved, all the odds was against me. I'm going to tell you, the world doesn't want me saved. The devil sure didn't want you saved. Probably some people in your family didn't want you to get this saved. They wanted you to change, you know. They didn't want you to get this saved, you know. Well, you got so fanatical, you know. They say all you want to do is read and preach to people. But no, that's what God does. When God comes in your life, God changes your heart. He gives me a different desire. Hey, I don't quit drinking. I just change the fountain that I'm drinking from. Thank God, I'm glad. When Jesus comes into your heart, it makes a difference. And the odds are all stacked against you till He cuts on your side. Thank God's and the odds change. I'm glad the odds. Hey, the devil says, oh, you're going to go to hell. Thank God, I'm not going to hell. The one who died on the cross of Calvary come down and took all my sins. He made sure that I wouldn't go to hell. I accept Him as my Savior. But we see here that the odds, the Philistines, they all gathered down there. And when the men of Israel, they come down there, and Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets, in rocks and in places and in pits. We see here the odds are stacked against them. The odds was against them. And we see the power of the enemy. You say, well, the enemy don't have power. Well, I'm telling you, the bright lights out there, all this worldly music today, all the things the devil's got to offer you. The devil's got power that you know nothing about. But I tell you what, thank God, Jesus' power is more greater than His. Hallelujah. I'm glad today that the power of God is more than the power of the devil. People say there's more, I heard a guy say it's more saved people, more lost people than they are saved. Well, I tell you what, he's not counting all these little babies going to heaven. I tell you, they're going to be more in heaven than they will be in hell. God's not going to let the devil outdo him. Never has, never will. I tell you what, old Jonathan, he was there with the Saul and all them God people, and they was in a strait. They was in a tight place. The power of the enemy was against them. God never underestimates the enemy. You don't need to never underestimate the enemy. I'll tell you what, I've come up as a child, and I told you this before, I was always overweight. And people laughed and made fun of me. And you know, I was all the time getting in a fight. Cause somebody laughing and making fun of me. But you know, I'd always look things over. And if they was bigger than I was, I got an equalizer. I got something to take care of the distance between them and me. I don't care if it was a rock, a stick. I even hit one boy in the head with used to be vinegar jars with glass. You remember that? I whacked him in the head with that. He didn't mess with me no more. I tell you what, God never, he never underestimated them. Hey, you remember the wrestlers, boy, used to have a thing called the bear claw, or the bear hug. I got into this one boy, I got around behind him, got him in the gut, boy, I like to rip his stomach. He was crying, let go, let go. Hey, wrestling showed me something, even though it was fake, but it worked with me, hallelujah. But I tell you what, that's how God, Jonathan, was him, and the people of Israel, you know, they looked over and saw all them big numbers of people. I tell you, it's just people as a sand which is on the seashore. Can you imagine all them people out there? And here he got 600 people, 600 men. Oh, they're hiding in caves. They're hiding in air cracks. They're hiding in the pits. They're hiding anywhere they can. Why? Because the fear of the people come on them. In verse 7 it says that some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilead. And the people followed him trembling. You get that? They was trembling. They saw the power of the enemy. They looked out there and saw them things. And so with Saul, yet Jonathan, he's seen the odds and stacked all against him. I look out today in this world and I see the odds are all against us. And I see this world that we don't have a chance for as a president. There's none out of all this United States, and they come up with them two. This bear, I'll tell you, it just blows your mind. How in my God? I'll tell you, some people in here could run this country better than them two could. But I tell you what, God, it just astounds me. And oh God, with all the odds stacked against us, and God takes us and uses someone as sorry and no good as I am, and uses me to preach the Word of God. I can't even remember nothing no more. And try to remember things. I'll try to remember Scripture, and I'll go over them and over and over them, and I'll have it till I walk out the front door. It's gone. But yet, when I was young, memorized stuff young. When I was young and memorized it, it's still in my brain. You know what gets me? I was talking to my mama today, and I can recall things when I was 3 and 4 years old. But yeah, I can't recall what I done yesterday sometimes. I tell you, I'm glad Jesus Christ makes up the difference. But the odds were stacked against them. I tell you, the fear of the people, they was trembling. They was hiding in caves. They was down there in the thickets hiding. It was hiding in rocks. It was hiding in places and pits. I'm telling you what, today we as children of God are hiding from the world. We're scared of them. You're scared to go out and testify. We're scared to mix in Jesus Christ. You're afraid somebody will start something or he'll come lock you up. I'm telling you, we need to forget and realize the odds is for us, not against us. Get out and be a testimony. Tell your people about Jesus. Don't hide in the rocks. Don't hide in the caves. I tell you, we hide so much, we need to get out and tell people. People today, they look upon us Christians, they think we're nothing. We don't stand no more like we once did. The children of God need to stand up and take a stand in this lost and dying world. Hey, I tell you, Jesus is coming. If you don't stand, who's going to stand? If you don't stand, if I don't stand, who's going to stand and fight for our children? Who's going to teach our children? Who's going to show our children faith? Who's going to show our children that Jesus is the one? Jonathan here, he was there, but these people were scared. And God's people are afraid of the world. But then we see here, you have the fear. God's people was hiding, and it was giving up. But you see down in verse 8, it said, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time of Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not unto Gilgal, and the people scattered from him. You know, Samuel told him he'd be back in 7 days. He said, I'll come back in 7 days, we'll offer up an offering, and then God, you'll take care of everything. But we see here, oh Saul, you know, the people got fear in their hearts, and they couldn't get out in their heart that he was going to God. They seen God do all these things, bring them across, do all these things for them and help them, but yet they didn't have enough faith, enough trust to wait 7 days. Yeah. And Saul got to looking at them, and we see the compromise of the leaders. We see here, that's what's wrong today. We got people compromising. You got our leaders compromising, not only in a quiet house and everywhere else, but you got them in the churches. The so-called pastors and preachers are compromising to this world. The people, they started sneaking off, you know. They started getting scared, and they started running off because, you know, oh, they were just scared. So they was trembling. And here got one guy over here, and he's scared. You've been scared. You've been scared. He's trembling. That ain't a good feeling. I'll tell you what, I've been so scared before, man, I thought I was going to die. I mean, my heart just going 100 miles up. I couldn't breathe. I tell you what, buddy, don't you imagine they were scared. And they was trembling. And they think, well, I got a home. I'm getting out of here. So they sneak off. So there his crowd of people kept dwindling away. So old Saul said, I got to do something. I got to do here. So he took it upon him. It says down here, it says Saul, Samuel come forth unto Saul, and Saul he to burn an offering. He took and made an offering, and he used a calf and offered up and prayed. Now don't you think they still prayed? They done the offering, done all that stuff. But what was the problem here? Saul wasn't a priest. God said the priest had to do all that. Samuel had to do the offering. Samuel had to do everything. And I tell you what, God come up. He said, when Samuel said, what hast thou done? He said, what have you done now? And he went against God. He didn't wait on God. And that's what they're doing today, to keep their crowd of people, to build their great congregations. They're not waiting on God. They're doing it on their own self in the flesh. They don't have no convictions. I tell you what, we come by a church over here, don't have no convictions anyway. I don't even know the name. We passed about 10 churches coming here. It's amazing how you got 4 churches on one corner. Beats all I ever seen. And I guarantee people going to hell all around them. But that yard was just full. I mean, brother, I've never seen them that full. They was lined up from one end to the other, out there giving out trick-or-treat. That's what they doing. Had their trunk or treat. That's what they was doing. I'll tell you what, they can say what they want, but if it offends you, I'm sorry, but you have to tell God. It's just out of hell. It's just out of hell. I feel like it's out of hell. And I don't see nothing wrong with giving the kids candy. Maybe go, you know, but getting out in this world and participating in the things of this world. I tell you what, this world's going to hell now. We're looking at us Christians as we're supposed to stand for God and be leaders in our community. But yet they look at us, look at our life, how we lead a nonchalant life and just go and just follow any way, anywhere. And we have no guts to stand. I tell you what, it's time we stand. I was picking with Ziggy the other day. He come in. Don't get me wrong. I don't harp on this and stuff. But he come in there and, from school, and he had him a pumpkin there. You know, a jack-o'-lantern full of candy.
I said, boy, don't you know we don't do that. I said, that ain't right. He looked at me, he says, just candy. I just picking with him, messing with him. I said, yeah, but you know, that's not the devil. And he said, oh, it's just candy. But you know, that's what it is to a child, just candy. But you know, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, I tell you what, but you go, you can make what you do in life is what you make of it.
Yeah.
You make in your life how you live for God and what you see and how you do. Yeah. There's things that I'm not going to do, and there's things that you might do, which I'm not condemning you for it. That's between you and God. So don't condemn me for what I do.
Right.
I learned that a long time ago. That comes from a school of hard knocks. You don't run your mouth about other people, and then you go out and do something even worse. I've seen people, I know a brother right now comes to my mind. He used to preach about Santa Claus and all them things, and boy, he's just down on everything. You come by his house now, Christmas, he got a big fat Santa Claus sitting out there in his yard, got a sled out there, and what a testimony that is to all the people that he preached to.
Yeah.
Tell you what. If I preach it, I sure ain't going to go back. I ain't going to say that. Because I said one time about somebody being late in church, and I was late from then on. God help me. I don't want to do that. By the grace of God, I don't want to go back on something. Yes, sir. I run my mouth and said, why can't they be on time? They ain't never on time. And then from then on, I was never on time. I told Pat tonight, I said, let's get ready and go. She said, why we leave, sir? I said, because I'm doing the preaching, and I won't be there. So everybody won't say, well, who's preaching? You know, I mean, I don't want to be one late. But we see here, them guys, it was all trembling, and they was hiding. You know, they was running, hiding in the rocks and scared. They was running off, and they had the leader, you know, old Saul, boy, he compromised God's word and went down there and offered up a sacrifice, and God took his kingdom from him. He said he's going to give it to somebody else because he compromised and give in to the devil's crowd. You got people, preachers, so-called at one time, they was great, mighty men of God. And now they've turned to the other side. I'm not saying they're lost. I'm just saying they turned and they've lost the stand and they've lost the testimony that they one time had preaching the Word of God. What's wrong with old time preaching? Preaching the Word, hellfire and damnation. That's what got you in. That's what got you in. That's what got me in. Body out, preacher's finger, come down. You're going to hell. I said, I get here, you're going to hell. And by my God, the altar, I said, God, don't let me go to hell.
Right, yes.
Hey, I know, boy, God's dealing my heart. I know I went for over a year being lost. It's just a profession hanging on to it. But buddy, when God got a hold of my heart and God saved my soul, oh yeah, dad, what's wrong with you? You too saved now. They say, well, you're not like you used to be. You're different. You're not as fun as you used to be. All fun's getting out drinking and going out and being crazy and wrecking your car and doing all kind of crazy things. No, that ain't fun. Ain't nothing fun about that. It's fun being in the house of God and by the power of God. Hey, Brother Chris, a little bit ago, God getting on him. Boy, I love that. Now that's fun, getting where God's people is and God's in the midst. Never had no fun out in this world. Oh, it's just for pleasure, just for a moment. You know, but it passes away. That's God, I can go home next week. I'm still rejoicing on things that happened at the youth camp. 2-3 years, I'm still rejoicing on that. Bless God, I never done that when I was lost. I've never rejoiced on nothing that the devil's done for me. But thank God, I can get them things, recall everything that took place in my mind, and I just remember and just get the, boy, I just get all excited again.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we just get the can't help us. You ever get them can't help us? I mean, you just, Brother Chris had the can't help us while ago. You just can't help it. You gotta get up. I tell you, sometimes if I was able to run, I'd make a few laps, but this old body won't have to be God. God had to pick me up by my britches and carry me along. Because I tell you what, I got scared the other day out there in the yard. I know I'm crazy, but God shows me sometimes. I was working on a car, and I was well, his brother Brent's car. The fuel pump went out on him, and he had a full tank of gas. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do with all this gas? And you had to take the tank off to get the fuel pump out of it. So I got as many cans as I could, but Jim, and I stopped me a little electric pump up there, and the wire's about this long, and I got some more. I hooked a wire to it. I hooked a jumper cable here. I laid a rag between it, you know. Now, this is how stupid I, you know, 20 gallons of gas here and there, and I'm sitting here and got sparks flying. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I hook them up, and I thought, well, that's good, you know. It's going to be all right. And I went into the garage. Boy, I heard it going, making a noise. I looked out there, and that rag was on fire right beside that gas can. All them vapors going everywhere. I said, God help me. I was running. I thought, I'd never get to that gas can. And I tell you what, I got there, I was beating that fire out. I said, God, thank you. Thank you, God, for not roasting me. But I tell you what, I've done some dumb things in my life. I tell you, and my whole body didn't want to get there fast enough. That rag was on fire. Thank God, I'm glad that God got more brains and got more sense than I've got. Hallelujah. But they were scared there, and they were trembling. And I've trembled a few times, but I was trembling the other day. And you know, God, these men of God, they get up and preach a big, great sermon as they think. They never mention the blood of Jesus Christ, not one time. And they get up and speak on everything in the world, and they'll tell their jokes, and they'll make all kind of funny crack. But I tell you what, if Jesus Christ ain't in it, it's a bunch of junk. Amen. Jesus Christ has got to be preached. That's through the Jesus Christ is what brought you into the house of salvation. Jesus Christ is what got you saved. Without Jesus Christ, would none of us be saved. We'd all go to hell. I tell you what. But here, they get out there, and the preachers, they want a thorough way. You know, like Burger King, you know, have it your way. And that's what they want to do. They want to have it their way. They want to let everybody be happy. Now don't hurt nobody. Don't offend nobody. Now listen, don't you offend nobody when you're preaching. Now you just take and be real calm. And don't tell them their brother's going to hell because he's a sinner, not saved. You don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. That's what they say. They don't want to offend nobody. But I'm telling you what, they'll be offended when they're burning into hell. There's one thing about it. Ain't a one of you can stand here and stand before God and say that I didn't say that without Jesus Christ, without the blood, you're dying to go to hell.
Right. Yeah.
I thank God for saving me. If you're not saved, I wish God get a hold of your heart tonight. Hey, Spirit of God goes beyond emotions. We get emotional, and it's good to get emotional. But Todd, I get emotional. I get emotional a lot of times, but it goes far beyond emotions. It's down deep in your soul. Down deep in your heart where God comes in. And God makes a change. It's the odds here are stacked against Him. Up in verse 15, we see the inactivity of the people. That they was real inactive. They wasn't wanting to do nothing. They was laying back. They said, Samuel, in verse 15, arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah, Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. Can you imagine now, 600 men going up against, what were that, 50 chariots and there's so many people like the sands of the sea. And you got 600 going up against them. Now, I'm going to tell you what, now, I'd start wondering about that time myself. You know, if God wasn't on me, I'll tell you what, I'd probably hightail it out of there too. I mean, you get to looking over there, you say, good gracious, look at all them spears and swords, look at all that stuff they got. Man, I'd start counting, and we're going to go against them. We're going to go. You know what I have? They forgot who got them there to start with. They forgot the power of God that was on them and brought them over there.
Right.
And that's what's wrong with us today as children of God. We've forgotten who's on our side. We've forgotten when we go out in this lost world, who's on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
And the inactivity of God's people, you know, they want to sit back. Want to sit back and old Saul, you know, he retreated. He backed off a little bit, you know, and got back there. and he got underneath a tree, and he sat down, and he was in the rear. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can't win a battle if you're in the rear. You got to be out there on the firing line. You got to be out there where the fight is. I never won a fight sitting in behind a bush or hiding in a cave. I ain't never won a fight except I was in the middle doing all the punching.
Yes, sir.
And that's when I won the fight. When you give up and you start getting hit, you better look out. You better take a minute and regroup and go at it. That's the way it is with the devil. You got to go at it. You can't back off. You can't run. I sure never could run. I ain't never been fast. Man, I'll tell you why. One time in school, you had to run a mile in so many minutes to be able to pass PE. I'm telling you, I didn't make it. I was this little skinny guy out there. He's tall, skinny, and everybody laughed at him, made fun. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, brother, I tried to catch him with all my heart. I run. About 20 minutes done went by trying to run a mile. And I was doing all I could do. I was about to fall, and he just kept getting farther ahead of me. And I was out there just running. I'll tell you what, he outdone me. And everybody laughed at me and mocked me. But I tell you what, thank God, no matter how slow I am, Jesus is with me. He's not going to mock me. Thank God I'm going to be up there one day. I didn't pass PE, but I didn't play football either. I tried. That didn't work out. I tried wrestling. I made it about 30 minutes and I left. Too hard for me. I didn't like that stuff. I wasn't big enough. I mean, I was big, but I wasn't big enough. But I'll tell you what, the inactivity of God's people are sitting around and they're not setting the battle. They're not getting in the middle of the battle and fighting. They're falling behind. And then we see the advances of the enemy. The enemy's advancing on you. And here's Saul and him was. They're back there. Well, the enemy's done come out in three companies. They've gone out in verse 17. They've advanced down, gotten in different directions, coming in around them. And there's Saul sitting in there with his 600 men. And he's scared to death. He's trembling and shaking. Don't know what to do. But then they sit there, and you know, when you back up, the devil's going to come forward. Before you back up, the devil's going to come back forward. So you better put your foot down. You better go forward and quit backing up. Because he's not going to give up until if you're saved, he's not going to give up till you get out of here. But we see the advances of the enemy, and they advanced toward them there. It said, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. A company turned into one way and leave to Ophrah and the land of Shumal, and the other company turned the way of Beth-Horon, and the other company turned into the way of the border that looked into the valley of Zebam and toward the wilderness. They're coming in around them, circling around them. That's what they're trying to do to us today. Hey, they're trying to cut us off. This world don't want us in their business no more. They don't want you out there on your job praying. They don't want you thanking God for your food. They don't want you getting out there and trying to be a witness and a testimony. And then you got some Christians that you wouldn't know they're saved because they don't show it. They don't do nothing to be a testimony to a lost world. You're just here and you're just alone for the ride. What's wrong with you? Can't you got any guts? Ain't you got any stamina about you that you can get up and take a stand for Christ? Amen. When are you going to do it? You're going to do it when Jesus comes back and he calls us home? You're not going to run your mouth and tell him why you're scared. If you're saved, you're going to stand there with your mouth shut at the judgment seat. How many people's blood is going to be dripping off your hands from where you didn't tell them about Christ? The inactivity of God's people. I tell you, and the advances of the enemy is just coming on. And verse 19, it says, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. And for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. We see here in verse 19 down through 23, we see here that the weapons of the people, they took them away. They took away all their swords. They didn't make no swords. Hey, all they had, brother, all they had was axes and mallets and be mouths to dig in the garden, hose and stuff. That's all they had. They didn't have nothing to fight. And clubs, you know. Well, let me fight this. I'm going to pick up a club. He got a big old sword. I mean, you tell me, all the odds are stacked against them. There's no way they should win. I mean, you never would think there's any way they should win in the way this world is. They didn't have their weapons. They couldn't fight. The Philistines had removed their swords. And I'm telling you, the world has removed our Bible. They took it from the school. They took it prayer from the school. They trying to take everything out of the courts. They want to get away with everything that does with God. Take it away from the people. Don't want it to be a testimony and a witness. Don't want it to show forth in this lost world. I tell you what, I've been to court before for different things, and that you go up there and they want you to put your hand and swear on the Bible. I don't do that. I'm not going to swear on the Bible. I don't do that. I tell them I'll affirm it, but I don't swear on the Bible. I'm not going to do that. I just ain't going to do it. That's just one of my convictions, and I'm not going to do that. I tell you what, this world look at you today. When you tell them you're not going to do that, they think, what's wrong with him? He's some kind of nut. He's some kind of religious nut, you know. You go to church every Sunday, you go to church every Sunday night and Wednesday, and then you all come, and they say, man, that guy's something wrong with him. He's just all the time going to church. What's wrong with him? I'm saved. There ain't nothing wrong with him. I'm just saved. Amen. I just got a good dose of salvation back in 1976, and it never wore out, and it ain't going to wear out. It'll keep going on and keep going on until Jesus comes. Yeah. I tell you, people today, though, they've lost their weapons. They don't even know how to write Bible. They don't even know what the Word of God is. I'm glad I've still got the old King James 1611. And I know that's the Word of God for the English-speaking people. But I tell you what, they lost their weapons. And then the ignorance of the people. You know, they're so ignorant. The people that in the church, and I'm not calling all y'all ignorant. I'm just saying, people in churches are so ignorant to follow these so-called preachers and so-called men that get up there. They're ignorant. And you read over here, and, let me see over here where they said I'll find it. Just give me a minute. In verse 3, down here in chapter 14, he says, and Ai, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of I know all these words before I come, Phinehas, and the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Now, there's the king's son. And there's just 600 of them there. And the king's son is amongst them. And they don't even know he's gone, Brother Robert. They don't even miss him. Yeah. Now, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with them, but they're spiritually ignorant, and they're not looking for God. They're not looking for the people of God, what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, when somebody's not here, I miss them. Don't you miss them?
Right.
I mean, when you're not here, you miss the fellowship. You miss the family that's not here. But yet, the king's son was gone. They didn't even miss him. I tell you, the odds are stacked against them. All the odds are stacked against them. But we see here, down in chapter 14, we get down here and you see the man who beat the odds. The man who beat the odds was Jonathan. It says, now it came to pass upon that day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man and bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines, a garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree and Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now here they were, about 600 men, and Jonathan, he tells his armor bearer, he says, let's go over there. You know, sometimes you just got to go do it. You just got to go do what God tells you to do. Now you might not make no sense to you, but you just got to go do what God says do. Yeah. Well, Chris had to do what God told him to do while ago. Sometimes you say, well, I've been guilty of this. You stand there in the pew and you say, well, if somebody gets up and testify, I'll testify. You know, and then somebody will testify, well, if one more gets up. But you never stand up and testify. You know, what gets me like the, what was this morning preacher I called on me or whatever, and God tell me to testify. Yeah. I mean, God tell me sometimes testify and the preacher I, he'll call on me. I mean, it's just God's all it is. And God knows your heart. And God knows what you're willing to do for Him.
Yeah.
Some people are not willing to do nothing. I tell you, when God leads a preacher to ask you to do something, you be willing and you say, well, I'm not able to, but I think Brother Robert Parker done a great job teaching Sunday school. I tell you what, that was great. God was in it and God was on him. Don't never tell God you're not nothing. Because I'll tell you what, you are something. You're a child of God. You got that royal blood in your veins. Thank God. He died for you. He didn't say, no, I can't do that. He said, he laid down his life and he gave it for you.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I praise God, boy. I'm glad. I told God for over a year I couldn't preach. But you know, I've been preaching 38 years now. God says you can. You can preach. But the man who beat the odds was Jonathan. We notice the advance that Jonathan put on the Philistines. He advanced forward. He took his armor bearer there. And he told him, let's go over there. Let's go. This is my words. He said, let's go over there and fight them. Let's go over and see what they got. So they get there. He gets to him. The armor bearer says, okay, I'll go with you. Now, can you imagine how that's a brave guy? Here they are, the sands of the sea, 30,000 chariots or whatever. And all these people over there, and just two men going to go over and fight them. Just two men. Tell me the odds. He knew what the odds was. They were stacked against him, but it wasn't with him because he had God on his side. We got God on our side. We keep pressing on, keep pressing forward. But we see here in verse 3, we see the courage here that he had. In verse 3, in chapter 14, says, and Ai, the son of Atam, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest, and Shiloh were wearing ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. So he advanced forward. He went on. Sometimes you just got to do something. And between the passages of Jonathan's sought to go over under the Philistines, the garrison, there was a sharp rock on each side. One on one side, one on the other side. Sharp rock on the other side, and the name of one was Bozi, and the name of the other was Sinai. And these sharp rocks there, you couldn't turn around and go back now. Here he is, they're right in the middle, get in the middle of them rocks, and they're between them. And there's the Philistines out in front of them, and they look up, and the Philistines is above them up there. They see the Philistines, and they look upon them. And I'm telling you, we're looking out at the devil today, we're looking at the world, how everything's looking, and we're seeing how everything's turning against us, and we see how things are happening. But let me be that you be a sure that Jesus is coming and everything's going to change. It's not going to be like this all the time. I tell you what, the courage of Jonathan. I tell you what, he got in there in the sharp rocks, and I tell you what, in the forefront of the one side was situated northward over the against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeon. And then Jonathan said unto the young man, he said unto him in verse 6, he said, that bear his armor, come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or few. God do what he wants to do. He do what he wants to do. He can save one, he can save 100, he can save 1,000. And I tell you what, you go out against this world, and you fighting against this world, if God is with you, I tell you what, you gotta have the faith. You gotta have faith, the courage, you gotta have courage to go up against them. And that armor bearer went up with him. He said, I'll go with you. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus is with me. Everywhere I go, he's with me. He don't leave me behind. Everywhere I go, I don't hang him on the door and leave him outside. I take him with me everywhere I go. And then you got the faith of Jonathan. Boy, that's some kind of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Boy, I'd be doing something, hoping them people weren't going to kill me. I'll tell you, I'd be doing a lot of, that's faith. Going into that's about like Brother Robert riding his lawnmower out there in front of all them bees. And one day they got all over him and got a hold of him. Yeah, let's start with you. You don't catch me under them bees. I went over and got some wood. We was well from, but it just, they're flying up there. I'm ready to get out of there. I don't want to do nothing to do with bees. I like the honey, though. I didn't like honey till Brother Robert gave me. But I tell you what, I tell you. Jesus Christ, you gotta have the faith, buddy. You gotta trust Him. You gotta look unto Him and trust Him that one day He's gonna come and take you out of this. People say, well, what happens if He don't come? Well, what happens if He does come? Hey, if He don't come, you're gonna be left behind. If He does come and you're not saved, you're gonna be left behind. He's coming. Believe it or not, He's coming. I tell you what, then the support of Jonathan, the support in verse 7, the armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Now, buddy, that's a true man there. Stick with you. Going out there, going to go in a fight. I don't think I've ever gotten a fight where nobody helped me. I've helped my brother before, but that sorry rascal never helped me. He stood back and watched. That's pitiful, buddy. I'm telling you what. Here's a man that stuck with with the leader. He hung with him. And he went into the battle. He said, I'll go with you. He said, I won't leave. I won't go. He said, I'll be right there. And you see the bravery. You see the bravery of Jonathan. And that one man, the bravery. Then Jonathan. In verse 8, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. We're going to go over there, and we're going to put a red flag on us, or a bright orange flag, and we're going to jump them down and say, here we are. And then they're going to look over and say, well, look at them nuts. See, that's the way it is with us as a child of God. You go on your job, you go out and wherever you go, and you stand up and witness, you got that big orange flag. You know, I don't understand. You go down here to hunt, you put all this camouflage on, then they make you put this big old orange thing on where everything sees you. You're not camouflaged no more. So, I mean, you're just bright, shiny, you know. And here they are, here we are. You get out there and as a Christian, and you got that big orange flag on you, boy, they're going to come at you. They looked down there and saw Jonathan and them. They thought, man, them two guys coming up against us. And I tell you what, they looked up there. And no, Jonathan, he said unto them, that he had the bravery, buddy. I mean, him and his armor bearer was brave. And they went up before him. He said, we will discover ourselves unto them. So they went out unto them. If they say this unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come upon us, come up unto us, then we will go up. And for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. They called out and said, well, just come on up to us. Oh, buddy, Jonathan knew right then it was on. He knew that God was with them. He knew that God was going to take care of everything. So Jonathan was eager to get up to that hill and get up there. And you read on, he said he come crawling up on his hands and his feet. And he come up crawling up on there. And he got up there because he had the confidence of God was with him. And the confidence that he was going to overcome the Philistines. That's what we need today is confidence. We need confidence that we're going to come up and get up there. And if you read on down here, Jonathan, in verse 13 through 15, Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet and his armor bearer after him. Hey, Jonathan was fat. Armor bearer should have been out in front of him, but Jonathan doesn't hit the top of the hill. And it said he come up on his hands and his feet. And then he slew after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. Man, he was just killing them. Man, his armor bearer was helping him. He was killing them. Man, a whole all the sands of the sea. And if you read on down there, and you get to seeing where they look out there, and you see the numbers start fading away out there. It don't look like the number of the sea no more. And you think, what's happening? If you read on in there, I ain't got time to get into all of it. And if you read this, it's good. They get in there and next thing you know, they're killing each other. Them Philistines are killing each other. And the odds are stacked against a man of God over there. But here his son goes up with God on him. And by the odds is with him. And he's in favor of God. And God's with him. And he's out there. And they say, what's going on? Then God's people get stirred up. And they go down there to help Jonathan. And they get down there and they look out there. And they say, well, hadn't they ever been there against themselves? They just killing themselves. That's how God works. I like it when God works. Hey, I work all the time. But sometimes I get out there and get to praying and I let God do some work for me.
Yeah.
And God will help you. Let me ask you tonight. Do you know this God? Do you know this Lord, this Jesus Christ I'm talking about? Can you honestly tell me to my face that you saved? That you know you're going to say, hey, it don't mean nothing to me. But you gotta profess the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in your heart. If I said I was a preacher and never preached the Word of God, you'd think, well, what kind of preacher is that? If I said I was a carpenter and never built nothing, you'd say, what kind of carpenter is that? I'm a mechanic and I'll take you over to the house right now. I got a motor built. Toyota motor sitting out there on my bench. A guy brought it over there, all the pieces. It was like you took a 1,000-piece puzzle and threw it on the ground. And I had to put that thing together. I never built a motor like that. It's 2 or 3 different timing chains and 3 or 4 cams and all these tensioners. But you know what? Preacher Hyatt said, that's just a miracle. That's what he told me. It was. Somebody like me, as dumb as I am, it just comes natural to me. And I put all that stuff together. Now, I'm waiting to get it in. I just didn't have no help to get it in, right? I got it in yesterday, Lord willing. I hope to get it in this week. But you know what? It's that first moment when you spin it over and it fires off. And it's going to run. And it runs from now on until it wires out. You as a child of God, you get saved. You start running for Jesus. Sometimes you fall down, but you get back up.
Amen.
Sometimes there's no telling how long you might stay down, but you get back up. And you keep going on. You got that fortitude inside of you. You just keep going on. Keep going just a little step further, just another foot, just another step, and it's going to be over with.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you're not saved, you don't have that. You don't get up every day looking for Jesus to come. And you don't see that beautiful sun shining like it did today and say, man, it's a good day for the Lord to come. You don't go out at night and see the sky and say, boy, it'd be great for the Lord to come. What's hindering you? What's holding you back? Is it your pride? I'm going to tell you what. There's no pride in hell. I guarantee you, they don't have pride down there. They're screaming and crying and begging God to save them. Let me ask you, what you going to do when it's too late? What are you going to do? If you don't get saved now, you might die tomorrow. You're not promised another moment. I'm 61. At 48, I had a heart attack and had quadruple bypass. God didn't promise you another moment. If I live tomorrow, I'll be doing good. I'll say, thank you, Lord. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Every head bowed, every eye shut.